From HanselMinutes.com, it's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 324, recorded live Thursday, June 14th, 2012. This episode is brought to you by Telerik, offering the best in developer tools and support, online at telerik.com, and by franklins.net, training developers to work smarter. And now offering Gesture Pack, a powerful gesture recording and recognition system for Microsoft Kinect for Windows developers. Details at gesturepak.com. In this episode, Scott talks with Ben Kamens, lead developer at the Khan Academy, about the mentor relationship and how to get the most out of your interns.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes, and today I've got Ben Kamens, who is a lead developer at the Khan Academy and was also a part of the storied Fog Creek software. And he's on the phone right now. How's it going, Ben?
Hey, it's going pretty well. How about you?
Very, very well. Thanks for chatting with me today. I heard that your summer interns are starting to show up.
Yeah, they are. We're getting a packed house here. We've got 15 on the way, and that number keeps it's grown since I blogged, so I can never seem to quite get it right, but I counted last night, and it's 15.
So how are you going to keep from being completely overwhelmed? Because that's like 15 new employees basically just rolling in.
Yeah, it is pretty nuts. I mean, I guess that number is not so big for a real company like Microsoft. But for us, it's basically a one-to-one ratio between full-time developers and interns. And so it involves a fair amount of preparation and planning and really just acknowledgement that we view the internship program as extremely important and we're willing to sacrifice time. So I guess part of the key to not losing a whole bunch of full-time or productivity is just acknowledging that you will lose some, and that's okay. And in the long run, things will come out all right.
I remember when I had interns, there were times, and it's bad to say this kind of out loud, but there were times when I was just like, I don't need an intern right now. You know what I mean? I just don't need this little person who's not a full-time developer just going, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you're just so focused on what you're doing, and now you've got a person that you have to, and they're really competent once you get them rolling, but they're not full-time employees by their nature. They are interns, so they don't know as much as someone you hired.
Yeah, you know, it's true. There's definitely, it definitely takes a conscious effort to not get frustrated sometimes whenever you're onboarding somebody new. I always kind of remind myself of something that's unfortunately burned into my mind of when I was an intern at Fog Creek, and my friend Brett was kind of my mentor, and I still remember the commands I was typing on the command line as he was sitting down behind me. And it wasn't until a few days after I was typing those commands and I knew he was watching me that I realized that they were completely nonsensical. I won't get into the full details other than it had something to do with the commands PHP and curl being typed in a way that would make absolutely no sense whatsoever to people who understood what those were doing. Mm-hmm. And I always remember that Brett never, he could have really quickly kind of told me the exact right thing to write, or he just could have gotten frustrated. Maybe he was rolling his eyes, I don't know. But he kind of just sat behind me and helped me understand what was going on and took his time, even though I wasn't a full-time employee yet. And he immediately took the long view of helping me out. And so that was always important to me after, and it was always an embarrassing thing to think of. But, that had an effect on me. So I try to remember that and, try to give other interns the same amount of respect.
So what kind of overhead do you expect? I mean, if you're going to have a one-to-one relationship, and presumably you'll have one or maybe even two kind of assigned to you, are you going to just assume half of your time or a quarter of your time? Is there a rule of thumb?
What we try to do is make sure that every individual full-timer has at most two interns. If you start to get to three, then you're right. Then it starts to take up half, three quarters of your time. With mm-hmm. two interns, if you're all working on the same project, it feels like, maybe a quarter, maybe 30, 40% of your time can be spent working directly with interns. It'll obviously be a little higher for the first week or so. But after that, I found that maybe a third of your time spent with two interns is well worth it.
Really? So that's a lot of productivity if you're used to being a heads-down programmer. But you're saying that having these extra bodies, even for as much of a third of your time as overhead, is a valuable thing.
Yeah, so far, absolutely. And we give developers a choice, obviously, if somebody wants to stay heads down and they don't have to mentor interns. But it can be really rewarding. And we found that if you prepare your product and your vision for your product enough before the summer rolls around, I remember the summers, every internship summer I've been a part of as being the most productive in terms of things that the amount of code that we ship. It takes a lot of effort to not just let code kind of go nuts and lots of new features show up that are not code reviewed and things like that. It takes practice in terms of how you manage the relationship. But certainly I think, when interns leave, it feels like the sales kind of deflated in terms of productivity at the end of every summer.
So when an intern rolls into Khan, you have a New York office, is that right? Or where are you located now?
We're actually in Mountain View.
Oh, you're Mountain View now. So you moved.
Yeah, I moved. Fog Creek was New York and now I'm in California.
Oh, rock on. Okay. So you've got an office in Mountain View and a bunch of people start showing up and it's their first day and you shake their hand and then what happens?
Yeah, so, well, really the first thing that happens is we make sure that a individual full-time mentor will go up to the intern, shake their hand, tell them how thrilled we are to have them here, and tell them that they are their explicit mentors for at least the beginning of the summer. And what that means is that the intern can ask their mentor anything, where's the bathroom, or I need a new keyboard, I like typing on a better keyboard, and obviously all types of technical questions. And an intern shouldn't have to be self-conscious about any of that stuff at the start. We think it's much easier to fix the problem of an intern asking too many questions than to have somebody sitting there banging their head against problems because they're too embarrassed to ask anybody and they're not getting anything done. So really the first thing that happens is we just kind of set up a balanced relationship between intern and mentor and make sure that they're not self-conscious asking for help.
I see. So you're explicitly pointing out that it's okay. We get that you're an intern. We get you have no idea what you're doing and you can interrupt me anytime.
Yeah, it's setting up a bit of a service relationship. And a lot of this is stolen directly from Fog Creek. I mean, Joel has blogged plenty of times about an upside down organization in which Joel is at the service of developers and, that goes all the way down. So when a new intern shows up, we do try to make sure that a significant percentage of full-time developers' time is at the service of an intern. And when they first show up, we just tell them that explicitly so that they understand, that we're taking, we're investing in them.
Now, can anyone be an intern, or are these all bachelor's degree students or master's degree students, or they all have PhDs? What's an intern at Khan?
It's just somebody who has made it through our interview process. So we've had, last summer we had 6 interns, 2 of which were high school students, and they're both coming back. One is now a college student. So we don't have any age requirements. Like anybody else, we'd love to hire people who are going to be entering their senior year in college so that we can hire them full time if we'd like to. But we don't have any requirements. We also have graduate students.
Really? That's cool. So a 60-year-old second career person could be an intern, no problem.
Yeah, actually that would be awesome. We don't have many of those people apply, but that's kind of strongly in line with the general Khan Academy vision, stepping outside of the dev team for a second. The idea that a 60-year-old can go learn whatever they want to learn. We get emails from people like that are using Khan Academy all the time. So it would be a pretty cool instantiation if we were able to support that in our hiring practices. We haven't had the opportunity yet, but, I have a feeling there would be no corporate hesitation to do that.
That's very cool. Very cool. So sometimes when interns show up at companies, their job is to like install hard drives and clean up the hardware room. I know that, and I would publicly apologize for the interns that I have had do such things in the past. What do your interns do?
Yeah, so our main goal is to make sure that interns experience what it would be like to be a full-time developer, not just for their own sake, but also so that we understand how they're going to handle being thrown into the deep end. There's really 2 things going on there. I mean, first of all, any intern that you hire, especially in dev these days, probably has a ton of opportunity. They could be working at a lot of really cool places. So it feels a little bit weird to throw somebody at a whole bunch of really boring bugs that nobody else wanted to fix, or have them get coffee or whatever. So just out of respect for them, we make sure that they're working on things that are pretty integral to the product itself. And secondly, we've found that, you know, they do a great job when you give them a challenge. So when our interns show up, we kind of we tell them what team they're going to be a part of, what their big goal for the end of the summer is, and then we get them started on some small projects. But they have a big vision in mind, and they're going to be working on stuff that's shipping to users, and that's kind of the main goal.
Is that really important for an internship program that they work on like publicly facing, or maybe a better word would be visible projects, and not just like your latest batch file?
I think so. Yeah. I mean, we lost an intern to a company. I won't say any names. We lost an intern to a bigger company, not yours, who we were recruiting pretty heavily. And a week into the internship, he called me and said, you know, I've made a huge mistake. I want to come to Con next summer. I'm working on the internal wiki documentation system that no user is ever going to see. And this isn't the experience that I want. And that makes sense to me. I mean, it feels like if you have a lot of opportunities for your internship, you want to go get an experience that's in line with how you want to spend your career. And for us, that's working on features that are going to touch a whole bunch of students or a whole bunch of users. So we don't want to just use them for grunt work, because that doesn't tend to produce the best results, I think, for either party.
Right. Everyone loses in that case.
Yeah. I think, you know, all of the stuff we advocate about mentorship is really just about taking a really long view about your relationship with an intern and not hoping that they can get X hours of work accomplished, but instead hoping that you build a good relationship with somebody who's really talented and that's going to come back in a strong way. And obviously it does if you are able to hire them. But even if you're not, you know, I still have lots of good relationships with interns who I don't work with right now, who I might work with in the future, and, you know, who have benefited Khan Academy in various ways just by talking about us or spreading good attitude about the company and things like that.
Why do you think that big unnamed companies that are not Microsoft have that problem? Why is it that interns end up working on internal wiki documentation and doing totally boring automation work and not hard work?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, I've been kind of lame in that I haven't been a part of one of those big companies yet, I think, and I do actually think that would be a good experience to have. I would guess that the instances in which we are most tempted to do that are when we haven't spent the time before the summer rolls around figuring out and preparing for good intern projects. And so as a result, you come in and the company's in a state where you don't quite know what's going on next, or there's a lot of confusion, or there's a lot of design debate about what the next feature is going to be. And so as a result, throwing an intern into the middle of that is really difficult. So you kind of just take the easy route and figure out, okay, well, you know, the intern doesn't really know exactly what's going to be built, so let's find some small things and have them do that. And I have a feeling that the bigger the company gets and the more interns you get, the harder it is to properly prepare so that an intern can hit the ground running with a well-designed product or well-designed project. So, and I don't know, I'm hesitant to attribute any evil to it. I think it's just a matter of you get a lot of interns and you have to really work to prepare for that.
So how much preparation are you doing? Like, are you getting the product ready for the people to show up? Because, I mean, I realize that if you throw a bunch of new people into an unorganized environment, they're going to freak out. But there's got to be a balance. Like, if you have an unorganized environment, then it's going to be a messy internship. But it's not, you don't want to, like, clean the house before the maid shows up. So there's some amount of preparation.
Exactly. You don't want to clean the house. That's not a realistic experience for the interns either. And also, you don't really have time to clean the house. You know, you can't take 3 months off and stop working on the product to prepare for interns. So, you know, there is a balance there. And so it's a little bit hard to define. But I do think that, at least my experience with most teams, the more you aim towards cleaning the house, the better. Because nobody's actually going to clean the house before the maid arrives with interns showing up, at least the teams that I've been a part of. It's much more tempting to just assume we're going to figure it out once the interns get here. So I think the more you aim towards understanding exactly what the main product goals are for interns after they arrive, the better off you're going to be. That's not, you know, a great answer, but, you know, I've got a couple experiences with that, specifically at Fog Creek. The best summers that I was a part of were ones where we had entire new releases planned, not the actual specifics of features, but we knew the main goals for a release plan going into the summer, and the goal was to actually ship that release at the end of the summer, or even entire new products. The source control product that Frog Creek works on, Kiln, was launched initially after an internship summer, and there was a lot of work put in before the summer just figuring out what the different components were that were being built. And conversely, we had an earlier summer in which the goal was to have interns come in and actually spec out their own product with a very, very loose definition, and that summer was probably the least productive. So I think it's okay to aim for cleaning the house because you're not actually going to do it.
In your blog post, you imply that there were months of preparation for interns to come. And what does that mean? I mean, that might be months in linear time, but you're not spending, you know, man months.
That's correct. Yeah, we're definitely not sitting down and blocking out entire months to work. It's more that if you're going to have 15 interns come in and you're a team of 15, then the amount of creation that you can do demands a fair amount of thought beforehand and design work beforehand. And those questions aren't always answered sitting down and working in linear time, but instead you have to start thinking beforehand and considering, okay, we're going to have a whole lot of horsepower. Where should we point it? And that just needs to start months beforehand. And for us, that means having meetings and figuring out how we're going to split into teams, because we cross the threshold from 10 to 15 people and then throw in 15 more people and all this. You can't have just one big team anymore. So that was just figuring out how to split into teams, who's going to be mentoring interns, going over things like the explicit mentorship relationship that you and I just went over, preparing mentors in other ways so that they understand that everybody should be code reviewed equally, and sitting down and having people plan what their goals are for the product. And all that stuff's going to change over time. As soon as the intern works for the first week and is extremely productive or slightly less than productive, those goals are going to change. But, that thought process, I think, should start months beforehand if you're going to have, especially if you have a one-to-one relationship between interns and mentors.
One of the things that I think that you've put a lot of thought into, and I've really enjoyed reading on your blog, are your opinions on code reviews. You've got some pretty strong opinions on code reviews as a way to build a relationship with someone.
Yeah. And this is something that, has been forming over time as I've code reviewed more and more people and been a part of code reviews and seen much better code reviewers work. But it's really interesting that, and I talk about this with my friends, that when somebody comes out of college, they're really used to handing in an English paper and having red marks all over it, or a big paragraph at the end in which the teacher critiques something. And that's just kind of an accepted experience, and it doesn't really drive people crazy. There's something about code, especially people coming out of college. If you hand in a bunch of code that you're really proud of, and then somebody kind of marks it up in a friendly way, it can be really jarring for people. And I think that's just, I'm guessing that's just because people aren't really used to code reviewing in college or before they get into their professional environment. But it's almost insulting. There's a lot of ego attached to code often. And you have to kind of work, you have to get past that, and you have to build a code review environment in which it's healthy to send little nitpicks to each other and just for the sake of teaching each other. You don't want to slow down the product, but you want to share advice, and you want to sit down with somebody and work through these problems together so that they know that you're not exerting mastery over them. You're not saying, I'm a better coder than you and you should do things this way. You're kind of exploring the space of possible solutions with them. And that doesn't come naturally with code reviews. There's something about them that feels really, I don't know how to put it, grady, or it just grates on people. And you have to work hard to fix that relation, to fix that environment. For us, that just means literally saying code reviews happen all the time. Interns code review full-timers, just like full-timers code review interns. And that's not common, but it's really powerful. It balances the relationship, and we hire smart interns, so we want to learn from them. And telling people that, the things that I write in my code review are not a critique of you. They are, we're sharing information back and forth. And the more we just say that stuff explicitly all the time in our meetings and stuff. And I think that helps the environment. And it helps you build a good relationship with somebody you're working with.
One of the ideas that you had that is a little bit out there was that new developers should review the code of an experienced developer. So do you have interns review your code?
Yeah, I do. I had that happen, I think, yesterday, and it happens even more with people who are actually writing a fair amount of code these days. I'm not doing so much. But that's, you know, reviewing someone's code is a great way to learn about what's going on. And a number of the people who have joined us from Google have pointed out that, you know, they had a nice system set up such that all code reviews were kind of streamed through the whole company. So it was really easy to just watch somebody else review code or look at somebody else's code review. So when I ask an intern to review my code, you know, not only am I asking for help from them, but I'm asking them to just be aware of the code that I'm working on and maybe learn something from the changes I'm making. So, it's not, you know, code reviews are seen as now you go approve my code, but that's not really what it is. It's more, hey, let's make sure that this code makes sense together. And that's going to involve learning on both sides of the equation. So I think it's really helpful. And it also just eases the tension in the relationship. You know, if I'm going to send an intern a code review and it's going to have 15 little comments in it, it certainly feels a lot better if I'm also offering up my code to them and I can see what advice they have for me just as a socially balancing factor.
Well, that's interesting. The idea that a code review is different than a code approval process.
Yeah. I think that's pretty important. I mean, there's definitely approval, but we don't view code reviews as this is the reviewer signing off that there are no bugs in this code. Instead, it is, does this code make sense to the reviewer at quick glance? So, you know, is this code kind of sensible? And, are there any major problems? And as long as that's not the case, then the code review is more so just about making people aware of various changes that are going on and other parts of the code base.
How important is it to do code reviews in person? Because I know that there are some remotes and you've worked with remotes before. And I've done a lot of screen sharing code reviews. And I've also done a number of things with tools where someone will do a code review kind of all by themselves and they'll send the review off. And we've seen the tools like that on Google Code and GitHub. How does code reviewing relate to pair programming and building relationships? How important is that?
Yeah, that's a good question. We do the vast majority of our reviews using not side by side. We're all pretty much in person except for a few remote people. So most of it is done in the same office, but it's done asynchronously. But we try to balance that with having people sit down together and actually look through code together in person occasionally. And I think it's important because for one reason, a lot of code review tools are deficient in one way, in my opinion, which is that it's really, really, really easy to point out problems, and everybody thinks that's the purpose of a code review. But, you know, as cheesy as it sounds, there's no like button, or there's no thumbs up or anything like that. You have to consciously point out which pieces of the code that you like, because chances are if you're looking through a whole bunch of code from a smart coworker, there's a whole bunch of brilliance in there which you're just going to ignore. It's kind of like a goalie in soccer. You just ignore the fact that they don't get scored on, but then you point out all the problems, and that doesn't really seem healthy, and that's what most code review tools are geared towards. So we actually, you know, explicitly, again, encourage people pointing out the good parts of the code or the things that, you know, if I code review somebody and I learn a new trick, I'm going to point that out in the code review and say, I didn't know this. This is cool. And that happens much more naturally when you're in person. You don't have to as consciously think about that. So, you know, that's one of the reasons we encourage a little bit of in-person interaction in code, is because it's a little bit more humane than what most code review tools would encourage, which is just point out problem, point out problem, point out problem, reject or approve.
I'm trying to get my head around how you keep focused on the people and not the code, because Leon Gersing, who I talked to last week, had this comment that he will like to sit down with someone when he pairs, and then he purposely writes the worst possible code that he can think of in order to bring that person out. Like, even the shyest developer likes to feel superior. So he will write really horrible, horrible code or show someone awful code. You got to try this. Because you're like the lead dev, right? So show them the worst thing you've ever written, or maybe even gag code, and see if the intern will jump in and take the bait. And would that change the relationship? Like, would a new intern on day two tell the lead developer at the place he just showed up at that this is awful?
That's a great idea. I love that. I don't actually have to try. There's plenty of my code around the code base that people eventually will start laughing at. But I really like that. I might have to steal that and try that and see what happens. Because that's exactly what you want. You want the first day intern to show up willing to call out the lead developer when they're doing something stupid, because it happens a lot, and in many cases they know way better. So, that's great. And I like just the idea of drawing somebody out and making them confident is huge. And code review trick is a great way to do it. And the other big part of our mentorship push is just, we say it all the time, we just encourage people to brag. Basically, one of the biggest problems when interns come in is that they think that their work isn't worthy of sharing. And you talk about this all the time with public speaking and blogging, but it takes the form of all types of outlets. We encourage people to just in our internal chat room post screenshots of what they've just shipped, talk in company meetings about what they just did. Any chance that they can get to brag, we encourage that. And, it's kind of the same thing. It's not the same as tricking somebody into showing off how much they know compared to the lead developer, but you really do have to work past that tendency to believe that your work isn't that important. Because oftentimes it is.
The final thing that you have on your code reviews as relationship builders is the idea that devalue the code on the team. Like freshly written code can be thrown out.
Yeah, exactly. That happens. And that's going to happen, especially with, if you have a bunch of new people come in. Sometimes you'll work on something and you just discover that it's not the right solution. And sometimes it's not even the right product. There are a million reasons that code can be thrown out. And that can be pretty jarring, especially for somebody who comes in and thinks that they're being judged. It's very hard to take somebody who you really respect, but who also thinks that they're being judged with respect to being hired full time, and say, "You're doing a great job," and get them to believe that, but then simultaneously say, "We're throwing this code out." That's a pretty tricky thing to do, but it honestly does happen. We've thrown out code before from people that we absolutely want to hire full time. And that's saying devalue the code and value people is one thing. Getting it done in practice is really tricky. And I think the best thing you can do is have full timers just demonstrate, I threw away my code, and be public about it and say, you know what, we just erased a bunch of my code. That's what happens. I'm actually glad that this code is gone now. Whatever it takes to set an example of it being okay to throw away code is pretty important.
And I like that you say, don't swoop in with the hammer of truth, right? When you're interacting with some new person, the last thing you want to do is set the tone that, like, hey, intern, just to make sure you're clear, I'm awesome, and here's how you need to do things, and then bring the hammer down.
Yeah, I think that's just about it. Not only is that not helpful for the intern, but that's just going to get you at some point when you're wrong and you're going to feel like an idiot. It's just not helpful. It's true that you know a lot more about the code base or maybe the technology than the intern, but that doesn't last very long, because they're going to be working pretty hard and they're younger than you and their brains are probably learning faster. And, you just have to realize that whatever little thing you know is probably not that important compared to the work that you're doing. So swooping in with a hammer of truth is just, I don't know, it just doesn't appeal to me on multiple levels.
Very cool. And do you definitely think that code reviews are required? Like, if you heard that there was a company that did not do code reviews, what would you feel about that?
Depending on who you ask in Khan Academy, you'll get slightly different answers here. I wouldn't be that. It depends on the size of the company. I certainly don't think that a company of five or less, and some people would disagree with me, but I don't think it's as critical, because it's easier to know what's going on in the product and not have something go crazy. I was shocked when we instituted required code reviews here, that it didn't slow things down a bunch. And I was initially hesitant. I was scared. I thought, that's really silly. If I just add a comment, who needs to review that? Just let me ship things and get things done. But we just kind of set the rule. Everything gets code reviewed. And, it's actually been really, really, really healthy for our code base. And it hasn't slowed us down, which is what I was initially freaked out about. So I would encourage everybody to strongly consider required code reviews. And, at least experiment with it, because the downsides that I expected actually weren't really there.
And last question is, how much time do you spend, like in like 40 hours a week or some number of hours coding? How much is spent in code reviews? Because sometimes you can end up in these epic code review meetings with like where people are just checking email.
Yeah, we don't really have code review meetings. In fact, it's pretty rare. Almost all code reviews are done by one person or maybe two. But it's pretty rare to have three people. Well, sorry, there's the author of the code and then maybe two other people. It's pretty rare to have three reviewers. So it doesn't get that out of control. The other part of required, the other effect of required code reviews that's really nice is that it's far less common for you to have some massive, huge diff that's being reviewed because you're reviewing along the way. Frequent digestible code reviews is the policy that we constantly emphasize here. So it's pretty rare to get into some sort of huge debate. Now, that being said, my time right now, I spent way more time code reviewing than coding right now, but that's just because of the way I've specifically set up my situation. People who are closer to the code, yeah, I would say it can get as close to, it can get, you know, 30, 40, 50% of your time can be spent code reviewing, but if that's happening, that's probably a sign that, you know, other people are producing a lot beneath you, and that's okay.
Very cool. Well, thanks so much for talking to me today, Ben.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's been fun.
We'll put links to Ben's blog and his Twitter up on the show site. And of course, if you haven't heard about the Khan Academy, you need to ask somebody because it's really something special.
Yeah, thanks so much, Scott.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.